The scripture reading for this evening is found in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, and we will read the first 9 verses. The Apostle Paul there writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." This evening we will also have the instruction from the Heidelberg Catechism by way of Lord's Day 39, which you can find on page 75 in the back of the Psalter. Lord's Day 39, question and answer 104. What does God require in the fifth commandment? Answer, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand." Beloved congregation, this evening the Heidelberg Catechism focuses our attention on the fifth commandment of God's holy law. It is indeed a very important issue that is brought before us, namely that of obedience. And then obedience to all of God-ordained authority. I'm sure that we all know that we are going through an authority crisis in our society, particularly in the West, including, of course, North America. Respect for government officials, judges, police officers, teachers, ministers, and employers has never been lower than in our time. And this breakdown of respect for and obedience to authority figures must be traced to man's sinful and rebellious nature. When Adam disobeyed God's command not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he set in motion a process of defiance against all authority. And that defiance first manifests itself in the family, when children defy the will of their parents, and where this defiance is not checked and curbed, the same defiance will come to expression in all other relationships into which children will enter as they grow older. We can say, therefore, without fear of contradiction, that the crisis in authority which afflicts our society has its origin in the family. And that is why the fifth commandment focuses on the relationship between children and their parents, when it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." And so we will this evening speak about the authority of parents over their children. And we will look first at the divine source of this authority, secondly at the required obedience to this authority, and thirdly, we will look at the proper exercise of this authority. The Heidelberg Catechism rightly interprets this command to include, besides parents, all authority figures. For the question is, what does God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction, with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. What actually is authority? Some would associate authority with power, but the two are not identical. Authority does not derive from natural superiority or a position of advantage in society. A man may be very powerful, either physically or because of great wealth, but that does not necessarily give him authority over others. Authority is a spiritual power that has been given to someone. It is an office that is conferred upon someone, by someone, and in this case, it is God. He confers all authority upon creatures below him. And therefore, ultimately, all authority is, of course, from God. He has absolute and original power over all his creatures. And that is why all human authority is derived and limited. And this is also true of parental authority. This authority does not rest in the mere fact that the parents have given life to their children. No, they have authority over their offspring because God has conferred this authority upon them. So it has nothing to do really with strength or size. A father can be very weak and small, and he may have a son who is very strong and powerful, a son who could easily beat him in a fight, but that doesn't mean a thing. The son has no authority over the father, but the father over the son. For it pleased God to govern us children by their hand. Let us now consider how this authority is to be obeyed. First, children are commanded to honor their father and mother. Notice that both father and mother are mentioned. And while the father is mentioned first here, in Leviticus 19, verse 3, the mother comes first. There it says that you have to honor and respect your mother and your father. And no doubt that was to show that both have the rightful claim to their children's respect and obedience. But what does it mean to honor your parents? Our catechism says it means to show love and fidelity or loyalty, faithfulness or careful observance of duty to them, and we are to submit ourselves to their authority. We are to receive their good instruction and correction with due obedience. Paul says that the obedience required is an obedience in the Lord. That means it is part of our obedience to the Lord. Disobedience to your parents, young people, boys and girls, is the same exactly the same as obedience, or rather disobedience, to God. The Apostle Paul also tells us that we are to obey our parents in all things. That is to say, all things that fall within the sphere of parental authority. Parents do not have unlimited authority. They are to be obeyed in all things that are lawful and that are in accordance with God's word. So if parents ask their children to do sinful things, if they, for instance, teach a child to steal or to lie, and that happens quite often in families where there is great poverty, then the parents do not hesitate sometimes to tell their children, go and try and get us something to eat, stealing. And similar examples could be given. But if that should happen, then those children may, and they really should, refuse. Politely always, but firmly nonetheless. But while honoring includes obedience, it also means more than that. There comes a time for a child that obedience, in the strict sense of that word, is no longer required. With maturity comes also the responsibility of making one's own decisions. Not without parental advice, surely, but still the young adult has to have the opportunity to make up his or her own mind on many issues. For instance, regarding the issue of doing confession of faith, that should not be imposed upon by anyone, not by the parents either, not by the church, although the church may remind that person that it is time to think about this and to pray about this, but the decision must come from that young man or that woman. Or take the issue of choosing a partner for life. The parents may not be happy with the choice that a son has for a certain girl that you wonder is not the right one, and you should advise against it, but you should be very careful. They have some independence acquired by their age and hopefully by their wisdom. But while obedience is no longer required in that strictest sense, there is still the obligation to honor our parents. No one is ever exempt from showing honor, love, and fidelity to father and mother. And such honor, or such honoring, will show itself in the way children treat their parents when they get old and need support. And it is only where obedience is given in early life that you will also see loving care being shown to parents later in their life. The older a son or a daughter becomes, the more that person, that child, begins to appreciate the love and the care he or she received in their youth, and the more eager they will be to repay their parents. That is how it ought to be, and how thankfully it often is, certainly in our kind of churches where we are taught these things. But we are not to take for granted that this always happens the right way. And so it is necessary that the Catechism, based on God's word, reminds us of the importance of it. How happy those parents are who, in the evening of their life, are honored by their children, are loved and respected. Those children, they should realize how much they owe to their mother's prayers and their father's guidance. We all need those prayers and that guidance when we are young, but even when we are older, but certainly when we are young. The Catechism says it pleases God to govern us by our parents' hand. How sad it is that there are families where You can't even call them families anymore, where there is no father present, or where the mother is immoral and the children are left to their own devices. How sad. And you can say in such cases, it's almost guaranteed that those children grow up to be no good, because their parents are delinquent in their duty. And so, boys and girls, young people, you should obey your parents, because they are God's gift to you. And when your parents tell you to do things that are easy, well, you don't mind that so much. To obey them in such cases, that's no big deal. But you should also obey them when they ask more difficult things from you, things that require a sort of sacrifice on your part, that you would rather not do it, but your parents have the authority to impose their will on you, and then you should still do it, even if you don't always like it. And the reason for that is that your parents, they have been placed in your life, and they do so, and they have authority over you because they love you. And you are to love them in return. But you should not only love your parents and obey them when they are nice to you, when they give in to your wishes all the time. That makes it easier to obey them, surely. But the real reason is that God asks this obedience from you. Unpleasant as it may be at times, the Lord wants you to honor your parents. Your parents are something like the rudder in a boat. We are told here that the parents are to govern their children. But what does that mean, to govern? I'm sure that you've all been on a boat out on the lake, and on those boats there is a steering wheel connected by cables to a rudder. And by moving the wheel to the left or to the right, you can cause that little rudder to move the whole boat in one direction or in another. The boat will always obey the rudder. And that's how it is with God. He uses our fathers and our mothers as rudders to steer our lives in a certain direction, and that is in the direction of His Word, so that you will learn to walk in His ways. Sometimes the man behind the wheel makes the boat go head first into the choppy waves, but he can also steer the boat into real smooth waters. But always the boat obeys. And so it is with you, boys and girls. You must obey your parents, no matter where they direct you to go. Why? Well, simply because that is God's will. Your parents serve Him, serve the Lord as these rudders, and it is God who is really governing and steering you through them. And when you do what your moms and dads say you are to do, you are actually obeying the Lord. That should be a very pleasant thing. To do what God wants us to do. But the opposite is also true. When you say no to your parents, to your father or mother, you are really saying no to God. That's how serious it is. The fifth commandment seems to be sometimes not too important. You have parents and you know somehow that they are bigger than you and stronger than you, older than you, and you should obey them. But there's much more to it. Much more. But do parents always tell their children to do what is right? Namely, do they tell them always to do God's will? Is every command of your dad or mom a command from God? Yes, it is. Unless they tell you something that God forbids us in the Bible. Then, of course, you must obey God more than your parents. The Lord Jesus gives us a beautiful example of what it means to obey your parents. We find the story in Luke chapter 2. The Lord Jesus has been the only sinless child who was ever born. He was pure, even though his mother Mary and his stepfather Joseph were sinners. Still, he was always obedient and polite to them. We know of only one time when Jesus disobeyed his parents. One time that he had to do that. That was when he was only 12 years old, during that visit to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. You know the story. And then when he got lost, his parents were worried. Now I say parents, that is also how it is written in Luke 2, but the meaning is, of course, his mother was his real mother, but Joseph was not his father, but his stepfather. But then his mother Mary said in her anxiety, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Not telling us where you are going. Your father and I have been looking all over for you." And then Jesus replies, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house, in my father's business?" Jesus knew, you see, that the will of his heavenly father was higher than anything that Joseph and Mary might wish from him. And that can also happen to you. If your parents are trying to tell you something that you sense is not right, then you should say no to them. If it involves command of the Lord that is in play here, and that if you would obey your parents, you know that this is not what God wants, then you have every right and duty to say no. But sometimes another issue comes up. Children may think that they know better than their parents. And maybe some of you have parents that you think don't have much education, as much as you have. And so you think, why should I obey them if I know more about this particular issue than they do? But that is wrong. Parents are parents no matter what level of education they have. It says God is pleased to rule us by their hand, and that implies even if they don't have a BA in arts or science or business, even if they know nothing about cars or laptops, smartphones, iPads, iCards, iStores, iSource. Notice the word I here. I know it means something else, but it strikes me. It's I. Your parents don't know much about these things. At least many parents don't. They may have little learning, but they may have much wisdom nonetheless. Wisdom and knowledge is not the same thing. You can have a lot of knowledge and not have wisdom. But wisdom comes from life's experience. And in the Christian community, it is parents who have learned much about God and his ways, who have wisdom to guide you in the right way. And it has nothing to do with scientific knowledge and other kinds of knowledge. If you learn to be obedient at home, you will likely turn out to be a good and a useful person in society, as well as in the church, of course. Your parents are the first people in your life whom God has set over you. But they are not the only ones. When you go to school at the age of 5 or 6, you will meet teachers, and you have to obey them as well as your parents. And after that comes the time when you will get a job, and then there will be employers, supervisors, managers, from whom you have to take orders. But also there are those other things in life that we have to deal with. People in the government, for instance, officials, policemen, mayors, governors, prime ministers, presidents, and so on and so forth. Also to them, as well as to our own parents, you owe the duty of obedience. But the problem is, if you have not learned obedience at home, you'll never learn to be obedient in these other areas of your life. You will be hard to handle for teachers. You will run into trouble with your boss. And worse, you may run afoul of the law as well. But what if parents and other authority figures themselves are wrong, when they are unreasonable and unfair, when also in the political arena, if you have a prime minister whom you don't like, and even for good reasons that you have problems with, as many of us have with the new government, then it is sometimes you hear people talk about those whom God has placed over us in such derogatory ways, then we talk just like the world, and you have to be very careful that you don't overstep your bounds, because you are to respect even those who are in government circles and who, according to your own views, and maybe they're right views, they are not doing the will of God and they're leading the people astray. You still have to respect them. And it's hard to do sometimes, but that's what God wants from us. The people who lived in the New Testament era, they had governments that were far worse than we have ever had. Nero and other Roman emperors, at the time of Paul was imprisoned by Nero, or most likely it was Nero, and he was finally executed by Nero. But still he speaks in several of his letters of the duty of Christians to honor the government, to pray for those in authority over us, in spite of their wrong government policies. And so that is another aspect involved in obedience to the fifth commandment. We owe them obedience. The catechism says, I must bear patiently with their weaknesses, and that is, first of all, with reference to the parents, of course, and shortcomings. Now let's talk about that in terms of the parents. They are not always reasonable, that is true. And that makes it sometimes more difficult to obey them than otherwise. But to obey your parents when they are not reasonable, and when they sometimes are overbearing, then you still have to go out of your way to obey them. Then you must exercise self-denial. And that's a very good thing to learn as a young person, to deny yourself, to do something that you don't really want to do, but you sense you have to do it because it's right. It's part of your obedience to God, you see. But while the fifth commandment puts a stress on the duties of children towards their parents, this does not mean that parents don't have a duty in this matter as well. The Apostle Paul also says here in Ephesians 6 that fathers should not provoke their children to wrath. Now that is the part that children often like to hear from the pulpit. And again tonight, this is mentioned. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. And this is how parents should understand this. It is your children's duty to obey. Absolutely. But it is your duty to treat them fairly and reasonably. Don't be too hard on your kids. Be firm, but be flexible. Be reasonable. And make sure, and that's important, very important, make sure that you love them for Christ's sake. Because if children are to obey their parents in the Lord, it is also the duty of parents to govern them in the Lord as part of their responsibility to God. Make sure that your children know that you love them, that you are concerned for their well-being, not only in society, that they will get a good job, but that they may serve the Lord, for their soul's well-being. And that should be very clear. Your children should understand that that is your main motive. And unless they see this, that in spite of their weaknesses, you love them, that you want them to go in the right way, that they warn you against temptations, and that they cause you to come home at a certain time at night and not stay out later than is right for you. And that doesn't always sit well with you, I know, but they do it for your own good. But unless your children, they see this, or at least sense this, that you love them, and that you're concerned about their true well-being, then obedience, such as it will be, is given, but grudgingly and not willingly. And that spells trouble for a family. If our children may know that we love the Lord and that we are truly concerned about them, then I think that they will become willing more and more to obey the fifth commandment. Someone has said, if we would be honored by our family, we must be honorable. The surest way for us to secure the honor of our children is for us to honor the Lord in our homes. When children see from an early age that the Word of God means much to their parents, when they realize that the Lord to whom their parents pray not only hears but answers, it will not be hard for such young people to come early to trust, honor, and love the God and what God means to their mom and dad will be an illustration of what He is willing to be also for them, their children. No matter how young a child may be, he is able to distinguish reality from sham. And in no area of life is this more true than in the spiritual. Our children, they may lack much understanding in many ways, but they do sense the difference between sincerity from put on enforcement. They can tell the difference between hypocrisy and love. Congregation, the Lord has given us responsibilities in life, and if we carry them out in prayerful dependence upon the Lord, His blessing will rest upon us and our families. If our children go the wrong way, let it not be because we have misdirected them. Then we are responsible and have to answer God for what we have not done properly. And He will reward us if we do things according to His word. And then even when then the children go astray, then they are responsible. Also, and this is also important here, Paul singles out the fathers when he says, provoke not your children. It would be wrong for a father to leave all the care and responsibility of upbringing to the mothers. The children also need a father's care and his love, but also his discipline. And many people, many young people grow up without these essential things. We should spend, as fathers, we should spend more time with our children. That's the best investment of our time. Mothers make home the place where your children want to be more than anywhere else, but fathers don't always come up with the excuse that you are so busy, even in church, because there are consistory meetings to go to, house visitation. Sometimes it's quite a chore for the elders and deacons in their work to do justice to their families. I know that also from experience. But you should try very hard to spend value time with your children. Now back to the fifth commandment. It says that those who do honor their parents, they also have a wonderful promise. And what is that promise? Well, it says here that that is not reflected in the catechism. It says that honor thy father and mother, which is a first commandment with a promise. And what is that promise? Well, that they will have a long life. Does that mean then that obedient children always live longer than others who are disobedient? No. We all know that there are some very obedient children who die young, while other rebellious children live to a ripe old age. But what does it mean then, this promise? Well, that nation is blessed which has a large number of families where children obey their parents and all others in authority over them. And that is true, historically speaking, also. There have been civilizations that thrived only as long as there was respect for elders, etc. But as soon as that respect disappeared, that civilization went in a downward spiral and disappeared. Our national security, also as Canadians, does not in the first place depend upon our weapons, our arsenals, but on the strength of our people's character. A nation that has learned obedience will be a strong nation. It will live long in the possession of the land given by God. But as is the case with all commandments of the Lord, so also with this one, no one can keep that commandment in his or her own strength. We have all broken the fifth commandment as we have broken the others. And we will continue to break it if we are left to our own sinful selves. And that is why we need the Lord and his grace. It is only Christians who can begin to carry out also this part of God's will for our lives. Do you realize how far short you have come? How far short you have come of this requirement of God's law? I'm sure that all of us will have to say, looking back on your life as parents, I have failed in so many ways. And you feel terrible about one or more of your children who are not walking in the Lord's ways, and you wonder, and you are quite sure it has a lot to do with the way you have handled this responsible position as parents. But let me then point you to him, the Lord Jesus, who has kept this commandment perfectly. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ, he has kept not only that law, but he has paid also the penalty for your transgressions of it. Confess this sin. Children, you have every reason to also accuse yourself of disobedience, and you are also to bring that to the Lord in repentance, confessing your sins. Yes, but the parents also, for sometimes being unreasonable, provoking your sons and daughters to wrath, what you must do and may do is to plead the blood of Jesus and to believe his promise that his blood will cleanse us from all our sins, also our failures as parents and as children. And then as forgiven sinners, serve the Lord and obey his will. Honor your parents, if you still have them, loving them and caring them, also as Christ loved his mother. You know, even while Jesus was on the cross, you remember, he thought of her mother, of his mother's needs, and he commanded John the apostle to look after those needs. That's a remarkable story when you study the seven words from the cross. Then there is that one that deals with that relationship between Jesus and his mother. And while he was in the midst of paying the price for sin, while he was preoccupied with his own needs, his own ordeal, the wrath of God coming upon him, he found time to look at his mother and to remember her needs. And then he appoints John the apostle, who had been disobedient like all the other disciples. He had also fled, but the Lord's love drew him back to himself, and he gives John another mission in life. He had earlier received that mission to be an apostle, to preach the gospel to the whole world, but now the Lord gives him another task, and it seemed like a very menial task, a very ordinary thing. He had to take Mary into his home and look after her needs. But that was a very important requirement, an important mission. That is a task that, compared to preaching the gospel, seems like a very common thing, even a thing that worldly people also have to do. But the Lord Jesus, he was very practical. He was not only thinking of the spiritual needs of his mother and his other disciples, but he was thinking in the midst of that ordeal on the cross with the practical, everyday, day-to-day needs of his mother. He knew what would happen if he would die and she would be left alone. By this time, probably Joseph was already dead, and now she would be a widow and losing her son. And her other sons, by the way, they were not yet Christians. They became Christians after the resurrection. But so Jesus was concerned about what would happen to his mother. And now he appoints John to perform that task. How telling that is, that Christ is concerned not only with about physical, but spiritual needs, but also with physical needs. He had said earlier to the disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and when I return, I will take you to myself, and you will be where I am." That was, of course, spiritual. They were promised a place in heaven, a mansion, a house, a home in heaven. But he was not forgetting that while they were still on earth, they had to live in an earthly home. And so he provides for that emergency as well. And what do we learn from this? Well, that we are to be engaged in spiritual things, first of all, but we also have our common everyday concerns. And one of those concerns is your parents when they get older. We have many grandparents here. I notice your children have been raised. They have children themselves. You are getting older, and there is always that a question, what's going to happen? Will I go into a nursing home, a retirement home? And that often involves the children. And sometimes you hear stories that make you wonder, is this right or is it wrong? that people put sometimes their children, their parents into a home that is not very good. Sometimes it has to be that way because there's no money. But sometimes the children live in quite nice homes and the parents not. And that's a shame. That should not be. You should be concerned about your parents. And I'm not accusing anyone here. I don't know anything about that as it is here. But just in case you have the wrong approach to this, learn from this that Jesus was concerned about his mother, her physical well-being, as well, of course, her spiritual well-being. Well, we have looked for a few moments at the fifth commandment, and it has many implications, many of them practical, but they are also spiritual, because the way we treat our parents is a reflection of our spiritual life, or the lack of it. So remember this. It is part of the true religion. Honor your father and your mother. If even pagans understand the importance of this, for Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He means it is right even apart from being a Christian. It's always right. If even pagans recognize that it is their duty, how much more should we be convinced of it and practice it? Someone has said, a Christian home is one in which all persons involved are properly related to the Lord and therefore to each other. And that's the key to it all, isn't it? Our relationship to the Lord, if that is a good one, then it cannot be, but that will also reflect on our relationship with our loved ones, our parents, our children, our brothers and sisters. Well, congregation, may the Lord give us such families, for this is essential to the survival of our churches and indeed essential to the survival of our nation as well. Amen.